we're in Matthew chapter 10. I started Matthew chapter 10 last week. The disciples' training manual is what we called this. This is Jesus' instructions to the disciples. We saw that in verse 1. The disciples, he called them, he empowered them, he gave them authority, and then he sent them out. This first short-term mission trip, training exercise for the disciples to get them ready for the Great Commission. This is just a limited commission. A very specific mission trip. What does it say in verse 5? These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter into the towns of the Samaritans. Go to the lost sheep of Israel. A very specific mission trip with a very specific message. The message is the kingdom of heaven is near. We talked about all this last week. Now, with very specific instructions. He said, I want you to go. I want you to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you received, freely give. He tells them, don't take any money. I want you to learn how to trust in God. God will provide. Don't take your cell phone. Don't take nothing. Just trust in God. He said, you need to search for someone worthy. I think it's in the book of Luke that they calls us here a man of peace, somebody who you can work with, somebody who will give you hospitality when you're in the various towns, and somebody who if these people don't receive you, maybe they'll receive the person that you're working with because he's one of them. And he also said, don't be discouraged by rejection. You just keep going. You stay faithful. You keep going. Well, that was last week. Last week, we just covered 16 verses. This week, we're going to go a little bit deeper into section 2 of the disciples' training manual. Then we'll pick it up in verse 16. That's where we left last week, but we'll go back to that verse here. He says, I'm sending you. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. But he's sending us. We need. Are you prepared to go? When you hear from Jesus, hey, go here, go there, go wherever. Are you ready to receive that message? Like Isaiah, here am I, send me. And this verse is so interesting here. I didn't talk about this last week, but it says, I'm sending you like sheep among wolves. So be like snakes, shrewd, and be innocent like doves. Here is quite the assortment of animals here. Sheep, wolves, snakes, doves. And I said this last week, the message is, To be God's messengers, we need to make ourselves vulnerable like sheep. But we need to be smart. We need to be discerning. We need to be innocent. We need to be men of integrity, women of integrity. But most importantly, we need to be willing to go. He says, I'm sending you. Are you willing to go? And then we get to verse 17, new stuff. Verse 17, be on your guard against men, because they're going to hand you over to local councils and they're going to flog you in the synagogues. Verse 18, on my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. Gentiles. That's interesting, because this was supposed to be like a short-term mission trip to the lost sheep of Israel, and all of a sudden we're talking about Gentiles. I don't get that. Why are we talking about Gentiles here? In verse 19, and when they arrest you, what did we just sign up for here? This short-term mission trip where Jesus calls us and he empowers us and he sends us. And did you get that line, like sheep among wolves? I just thought that was just a saying. I mean, there's really wolves? You're really going to do this to us? You're really going to send us out there among wolves and we're going to be flogged and we're going to be arrested? And in verse 21, brother will betray brother to death. And a father, his child, and children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me. And in verse 23, he says, and you will be persecuted. So here, section 2 of this training manual is not pleasant. Here, Jesus gives a little pep talk that's not too peppy. And the disciples, they got to be scratching their heads. They've been called by Jesus. They've been empowered by Jesus, given all authority to heal the sick, to raise the dead. I mean, these guys are rock stars. When Jesus comes into town, everybody's excited. And the power they have, the authority they have, everybody's like, oh, the disciples are here. They're loved by everybody. It's so cool to follow Jesus. It's so fun to follow Jesus. And now Jesus tells us this. All of a sudden, following Jesus just got real. Jesus is warning them that following Jesus means you're going to go from being popular to being persecuted. And I'm just curious. Did we get that? Did we understand that? It was back in the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are you when you're persecuted. Well, yeah, but it's just one verse of the Bible. And then there's other verses he talks about being persecuted. Now he's telling you, you're going to be persecuted. And I'm just thinking, I'm not sure that we really pay attention to these verses too much. This is pretty intense stuff. And Jesus didn't sugarcoat it. He tells us to follow Jesus, to follow him, you need to expect opposition. You need to be on guard, be alert, be aware. And you need to know this is coming. And here's the thing, this pep talk that Jesus has given these 12 disciples, it applies to us. Last week I told you, the first 16 verses, it was very specific. It's to a very specific mission. It was for those 12 men at that time. But now Jesus has moved into new territory here. In this territory, this applies to all missions. It applies to all Christians, all who are following him. He says, you will be flogged. You will be arrested. Following Jesus means you might have a criminal record. You will be betrayed by family. Brother will betray brother, a father, his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Put to death. I mean, not only are we talking of a painful physical pain to follow Jesus, being flogged, now we're compounding this with emotional pain of your own family turning on you. Have you considered the cost of what it means to follow Jesus Christ? He says, you will be hated. All men will hate you because of me. The one who calls us, the one who empowers us, he's the reason people will hate us. They hated Jesus. He says, remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. Why the hate for Jesus and his followers? Why? And do you see it? I feel like I see it. It's becoming more and more clear in our world every day. There's hatred for Christians. There's hatred for Jesus because people don't want the truth. People don't want to be, they don't want their sins exposed in the light. Everything we're talking about, being flogged, being arrested, being betrayed, being put to death, being hated, none of this happened to the disciples in the Gospels. But it all happened in the book of Acts. So section 2 of our training manual here is instructions for future mission trips. Jesus is prepping them for what is to come. He's prepping them for the Great Commission. He says, you are to expect opposition. And then he says, and you will be my witnesses. We are to be a witness. What does he say? He says, when they flog you, when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. This is interesting. He says, don't worry. When they flog you, when they arrest you, don't worry about what to say. I'm thinking, that's not what I'm worrying about. I'm worrying about how much it's going to hurt. That's what I'm worried about. But he said, don't worry about what you're to say. When you're following Jesus, when you're obeying Jesus, when you're abiding in Jesus, when you're listening to the Spirit, when you're in step with the Holy Spirit, we shouldn't have to worry about any of this stuff. We should just be faithful, knowing that God is going to use us for his purposes to bring glory to his name, to advance the gospel. Jesus tells them that they will be brought before governors and kings. We saw this with Paul in the book of Acts. He's brought before governors and kings to be a witness to them, to share the gospel with them, to share all that they've seen Jesus do, to declare that he has all authority over diseases, over sicknesses, over demons, over death. Jesus is the King of kings. This is our message. This is our job. This is what the disciples faithfully did. That Jesus is the King of kings. He's a benevolent king. He's the way of salvation. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. We are to be a witness of this, to tell the world of what Jesus has done in our lives. And this is interesting. I haven't done this very often, but lately I've gotten into this, giving you a Greek word every week. And witness in Greek is the word martyrian, if I'm saying it right. Witnesses. That's what it is. Do you see a word in this here in the Greek? Witnesses? Martyr. In the English, it's the word martyr. Isn't that interesting? The word witness is the word martyr. Because it used to be, Jesus saying, you will be my martyrs. You will be my martyrs. Used to be, you know, that word meant witness, but most of the witnesses, they got killed for sharing their faith. So we don't think of the word as a witness anymore. We think of the word as somebody who dies for sharing their faith. But the word means a witness for Jesus Christ. Jesus tells them, it will not be you speaking. It's going to be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And what stood out to me here, Jesus is telling us, you know, we have a part to play, and God has a part to play. This is the covenant training that a lot of us went through, the covenant training. We have a part, God has a part. Your part is to go. His part is to speak through you as you go. But you got to go. He can't do his part if we don't do our part. So our part is to be faithful and to go, even though we know this means we're going to be flogged, we're going to be hated, we're going to be persecuted, we're going to be betrayed. We are to go. We are to represent. We are to live our lives for Jesus Christ wherever we go, and then trust that God will do the rest. We are to follow Jesus. And then he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Three times he says this. He says this in verse 26. He says it in verse 28. He says it in verse 31. He says, don't be afraid. When they arrest you, hey, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. When they flog you, don't worry about that. When they hate you, don't be afraid of that. When people kill you, nothing to worry about. Nothing. Don't be afraid. See, I'm thinking, why would I not be afraid? Because I am. I'm kind of terrified when I'm reading this. Jesus saying, beware of men, but don't be afraid of men. Beware of what they're going to do, but don't let it stop you. Don't be afraid of it. Don't fear men. And I think this is what I want to say today. The devil wants you to live in fear. The world that hates Jesus wants you to live in fear. And maybe you need to just deal with that right now. Are you living in fear? If you're living in fear of whatever, it could be a sign that your eyes are more on the things of this world than they are on Jesus. And so you just got to take some inventory here. What am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? Because the devil wants you to be in fear. The world wants you to be in fear. They will try to intimidate you because they want to shut you up. They want to shut you down. They don't want you shining your light for Jesus. The world doesn't want that. The devil doesn't want that. But we've got to remember, this is why we don't need to be afraid, because they don't have absolute authority. They don't have absolute power. We know the one who does. We've seen it over several weeks of going through Matthew. Jesus has absolute power. So don't be afraid of those things. So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ears, proclaim it from the rooftops. You stay faithful. Don't let them shut you up. Don't let them shut you down. And he goes on in verse 28. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. He says, don't be afraid of men. What you need to be afraid of, and who's this? Be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Who is that? Fear God. Only God has that kind of power. Only God has that kind of authority. To the world, the destruction of the body is the most horrific thing that can happen to us. No, nobody wants to die a physical death because the worldly thinking is then it's all over. But see, as a Christian, that's not what we think. I was talking to Nevada earlier today. Her father's getting ready to die on his birthday. And she was just telling me, what an awesome birthday present because he loves the Lord. That's the way a Christian thinks. John Rice, he said, Dr. John Rice, he's a famous preacher years ago. And somebody didn't like something he said. And they put a gun in his face. To shut him up. He says, you can't threaten me with heaven. What are you thinking? That's how a Christian thinks. The fear of God is what empowers us. It's what sustains us. It's what emboldens us. In a world that's hostile to God. In a world that's hostile to those who are living for God. And then he says in verse 29, says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. Apart from the will of your Father. If it's not God's will, it's not going to happen. They can threaten you. They can kill you. And if it's in the will of the Father, it might happen. But he goes on, he says, and we need to understand this. He says, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Do you realize how valuable you are to God? How much he cares about you. How much he loves you. How well known you are to him. Do you trust him? He's sending you out among the wolves. And he knows he's sending you out among the wolves. And he knows what the wolves are capable of doing. But do we know what he's capable of doing? Do we trust him? Are we willing to follow? Well, that's the passage. And I'm thinking, so what is it that the Lord wants us to learn from this passage here? And two things that stood out to me. The first thing that Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, what the message that we need to learn is we need to be courageous. We need to understand what could happen, the possibilities. We need to understand what could happen, what is happening to many of our brothers and sisters around the world who are faithfully living for Jesus Christ. And the message here is be courageous. And this is huge. Too often our fear is what keeps us from being faithful to the commands our Lord has given us. Too often our fear is what keeps us from fulfilling the will of God. It's our fear that keeps us from experiencing the blessings of God. It's our fear that keeps us from experiencing the presence and the power of God in our lives. We got to deal with that fear. We need to be courageous. Yes, we will be persecuted. Yes, we will be hated. But will we be faithful? Will we be faithful? It's so easy to follow Jesus when he turns water into wine, or when he takes the loaves and the fishes and he feeds 5,000 people, or when he raises Lazarus from the dead. Oh, it's easy to follow Jesus then. But what about when he leads you to the place of the skull? What about when he leads you to the wolves? Will you follow him there? In a world that means you might die, you will be hated, you will be rejected. Do you trust him? What if it was you that was standing right next to the lion's den, like Daniel, would you trust him? Or would you have caved? What if it was you that was being threatened with being thrown into a fiery furnace? Would you trust him? Or would you say, that's it, I'm out? Would you tap out? I've read before the words "do not fear" in some form or another are found in the Bible 365 times. 365 times. That means one time for each day of the year. I've not done the research myself to find this out to be true, but this is what I've heard. Do not fear. In there, 365 times for one time for every day of the year, so that you and I do not live in fear. You remember the whole story of the Israelites. If you study the Old Testament, you see the story of the Israelites and how the Israelites, who God brought them out of Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea, fed them manna, brought water from a rock, and says, now go take the promised land. What was it? They've seen God's power. They've seen God's authority over and over and over. And he says, go take the promised land. And they say, no, we can't do that. No, because there's some big guys over there. There's giants in the land. That's the whole message here. The Israelites were more afraid of men than they were of God. And they missed the blessing. As a result, they were punished severely for that. That's a message that Jesus is telling us here in Matthew chapter 10. Are you going to be like those 10 spies who say no to God? Or are you going to be like the two who said, hey, if God is with us, who can be against us? Are we going to be faithful? Joshua's message, do not be afraid, be strong and courageous. Jesus' message, don't be afraid, be strong and courageous. The brave soldier needs to understand the danger, but they also need to understand the importance of the mission. We count the cost, and then we go because we know it's worth it. Faith is what makes us dangerous to a world that fears God. So first of all, be courageous. Secondly, stand firm. He says in verse 22, he says, you will be hated among men, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. He who stands firm, even though you might be flogged, even though you might be arrested, even though you might be betrayed, even though you might be put to death, you stand firm to the end and you will be saved. It will be worth it. The opposition, in light of eternity, it's only temporary. Be assured that your faithfulness is of great value to Jesus Christ. He wouldn't needlessly send you into harm's way. Keep on the mission, knowing that what you do, what you endure, is for his name's sake. What you're doing is for the salvation of all the people who need to know Jesus Christ. Know that what you're doing will one day be the cause of great rejoicing. So these disciples, that Jesus is talking to these disciples, they did follow Jesus. But they still struggled. And you see this, you know, you remember at the cross, when Jesus went to the cross, you don't find any of the disciples there standing next to the cross. No, they were still afraid. They still had to deal with fear. Even though they've seen Jesus do all these great miracles, you know, heal the lame, calm the storm, cast out demons, raise the dead, they were still terrified. Even after all that, it wasn't easy for them. And I don't expect it's going to be easy for us when that day comes. But this is what Jesus is asking of us. To go. To be on guard, to not be afraid of man. Don't let fear stop you from being faithful. And I want to ask you, do you have that kind of faith? Is Jesus the source of your courage? when we follow Jesus, he takes us to this place, sheep among wolves. And then he tells us, don't be afraid. Throughout the Bible, God is constantly trying to teach this message to his people. Don't be afraid. It's a process. And it starts when you take that first step of following Jesus. It's not easy. It's hard. It's hard to be on a sinking ship and remember who it is who can calm the storm. To follow Jesus, to make him your Lord, is to understand the mission of proclaiming the good news wherever we go. It's to understand this is more important than my wants. It's more important than my desires. It's more important than my relationships. That's a hard one. It's more important than my physical life. And there is no guarantee that I will not experience pain or suffering or even death. But there is a guarantee that we will be saved. So we need to stand firm. I want to end with two verses here. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. It said, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Aren't you glad you came today? Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 12, verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. This is what faith looks like. To overcome the evil one with our testimony, being a witness, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Is that the kind of faith that you have?